And welcome back to Coast. This hour, we will take your phone calls and questions. And if you're definitely a single parent, jump on board with us as well. Christian Wild with us and Kathy Smith, the counselor. And we'll be back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with Christian Wild and Kathy Smith as we talk about single parents. And Kathy, before we go to calls and Christian as well, Kathy, are the courts more lenient to men or women?
It's interesting. Usually to women.
That's what I thought.
Yes, and it still prevails.
Is it overwhelming?
Pretty much. There's still a huge prejudice against men, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to go to some of the calls now. Let's go to Phoenix. Phoenix is a television anchor person, by the way, and a reporter in Texas and a single mother. Hi, Phoenix. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great. So what has it been like for you working full-time and being a single mother?
You know, it is difficult, George, but I've really kind of thought about all the questions you've asked. And part of the thing is finding the not right newsroom to work for. Yeah, I've worked in the industry for over 10 years, and I got to say, at least the news shop that I'm at now, there's a lot of other parents out there, and it's about finding a place where people have your back. Meaning, if I get called on breaking news, which does happen, I have, a chief meteorologist. I have so many other people that are ready to step in, pick up my daughter, and have my back and let me go do my job. So it's finding the right working environment.
Well, that helps. How old is your daughter?
She is 7, almost 8 years old.
You're working, and you're working full-time, right?
She's almost 17, so.
George, I talked to a lot of women who are sharing information with other mothers who are in the same situation, and making time for that person to spend a little quality time on their own because they're so exhausted from all that they're dealing with. So maybe one parent will say, let me take your kids for a night.
Mm-hmm.
You go out and have a good time.
That
and then
helps.
Next week, maybe you could take my kids, or a father who can take somebody else's child to a baseball game, or who's missing their father, and then they would, the following week, do something else.
Sure.
I think that's parents helping parents.
That's a support group. And Phoenix, do you have a question for either Kathy Smith or Christian Wild here?
No, not really. But I guess what just kind of going off on what he said is, that is absolutely right. It's finding that correct support system. For me, being here in West Texas, the community is incredibly, so much more loving. Originally, I come from L.A., and people are more egocentric and really into themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And here, it is finding that person that's willing to take her and having those trade-offs. So, I'm sorry, I don't know his name, but the last one who spoke, and he's absolutely right. It's finding that trade.
All right, great. Thanks, Phoenix. Go ahead.
One other thing, George. I know this will touch your heart, but a mother or a father who has a child with a learning disorder or has special needs, and the mother can't be with them when they're acting out or when the school calls and says, come and take care of your child, he's out of control, and not being able to be there for your child because you're working, that's got to be
that's
tremendous
tough
pressure.
Yeah, that is tough. I mean, I know my kids in St. Louis with their kids, they'll send me a text saying, Papa, are you going to be in St. Louis for this date? Because little Charlie has a concert or this or that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so important to participate
right in
what we're doing. Kathy, in terms of what you see, mm-hmm. does the single parent generally get some support at all from the other half?
Usually very little. It depends on your own childhood and what you expect you deserve. And one of the things when you were just speaking, I totally agree with Phoenix and both of you that you need a strong support system, and that's very, very easy for people who have been nurtured properly in childhood. But if you have reactive attachment disorder because your parent abandoned you Or even today, if the mother is feeding the baby while she's looking at her cell phone and she's not even holding the baby or looking in the baby's eyes, the baby develops abandonment issues and low self-worth. And I was going to mention how disruptive the technology really is, because they're putting the baby in front of the TV. The baby's falling in love with the robot cartoon figure and getting their information and their love from the TV set or the phone. And mommy gets mad if she's in the middle of texting somebody and the baby needs something, you see. So this is called reactive attachment disorder. There are many, many levels of it, but the baby gets a real strong message they're not important. And those single parents do not have the confidence to reach out to another parent.
What happens to the child when they get older and they've gone through this difficult period of abandonment? And again, we can talk later about the child that came up from a loving single parent.
Sure.
But if they are raised and they just don't have that kind of love, what happens to them as an adult?
They're nervous. They are underdeveloped. They do not actualize their talents. A lot of drug addiction. They get real hooked into these so-called help groups. There are many, by the way. Christian mentioned this to me, and I agree with him. Many helpful support groups for single parents. But there are also what you would just call real toxic. I had one client who told her little girl, she got mad, and she says, "I'm going to kill you." And then she ran onto social media and posted it. Her friend saw it and took it off within 10 minutes, and then she got a call from CPS.
Christian?
Yeah. Kathy, what about maintaining good, strong family structure? Because some parents want to overcompensate, for instance, because they feel guilty, which is a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
And how important is it for them to not bend to everything in order to help that child have more self-confidence?
Yes, because you're talking about consistency, but you're talking about a man or a woman who was raised by a mother like yours.
Mm-hmm.
And what I deal with are kids who have single parents who had mothers who were crack addicts or had boyfriend after boyfriend or who were alcoholic or who would leave home for a day or two and not come back, or put the kid, 6-year-old, in charge of the younger kids. You know, those are the people that I really deal with.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, so those people don't understand what a normal interaction would really be. So I have to teach how to make the child secure.
Let's go to Marvin, truck driving in Oklahoma, east of the Rockies. Hi, Marv, go ahead.
Okay, it's a pleasure to be on with you guys. I have a story that probably should be a movie.
Okay.
It's a very tragic story. I was a single parent. I raised 7 kids by myself.
7?
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, and my obstacle in raising the kids was the child support system. Their mother, she died. I call it murder. She was getting illegal welfare for the kids, and she was buying crack cocaine, and eventually that's what killed her. Okay,
yeah.
The welfare system was told that that's what she was doing by even her family members. Okay, I found the kids. She took them from me one time. I found them in a hotel. They had been in the hotel for 3 days eating raw potatoes.
What were their ages, Marv?
They were ranging between the ages of 1 to about 13 years old.
Jeez.
And I got a tip to where they were, you know. But I started raising them. I tried to fight with child support. Tell them, look, I had legal custody of them. And meanwhile, I can't tell you the whole story. It'd be a whole show for you.
I understand.
But I'm gonna go forward real quick. One day I went to work, and my boss said, "We're gonna have to let you go." I'm a single parent, mind you. Okay.
Oh my God.
And they took most of my last paycheck, the child support system, robbed my bank account, me and the kids got put out of the house by law enforcement on a rainy day around Christmas. We had to go live in a shelter. Then I says, all right. I mean, I'm frustrated. I says, then I'm going to try the welfare thing. Never been on welfare. I go down to welfare. I says, I'd like to get welfare for my kids. Well, they tell me, I'm sorry, you can't get welfare for your kids. You don't have your kids. They're in the office with me while I'm applying. Okay? I said, they're right here in front of you. I had to get congressmen. I'm a two-time United States veteran. I'm frustrated. I have tears in my eyes. I said, this is what my country's doing for me. This is what I fought for. They took everything from me, everything. And I had to get two congressmen and a news station to help me out. They did an investigation. They found out, at least on one case, that I'm telling the truth. They put me on emergency Section 8. We had already lost everything, though. You know,
yeah.
They got us into a house. There's still one county today I pay enormous amount of money to every paycheck I get. And this has been going on for at least 25 years.
Well, we honor you tonight for being the stand-up dad.
You did come forward when you didn't have to, and you did it. You did it. How old is the oldest child now, Marv?
He's 40 years old now. he was just in a tragic accident. But we're tough people. But four of the kids have college degrees. I still got two more kids in college.
Wow.
My advice to other single parent is, even if you don't believe in God, I tell them, get them involved in the church. Let them know there's consequences for their actions. I'm a long-haul truck driver. I still had to bring in income. I'd have the church pick them up. You know, I wanted them to learn, you know, there were consequences for your actions. There's so much more of this story I could tell you guys.
You're going to be canonized as a saint one day, my friend.
Yes, you are.
Thank you, Marv.
I have a question for all of you here. When we look around the world today, and it's happening more and more every day, the killings, the suicides, the lack of value for human life, and I was touched very much, George, by this story you started with tonight with the police officers. And I would say to Starbucks, the next time somebody's holding them up, maybe they should call somebody else besides the police officers.
Instead of chasing them out.
Chasing them out of the restaurant. That was terrible.
They did eventually apologize for that.
Oh, that's great. But my question is, to you too, Kathy, is, how much of all of this that we see in the teenage killings and everything that's happening more and more every day, how much of this would you say is from improper upbringing?
100%.
There you go.
And Kathy, I'm going to ask you something about a story we have not covered because of several reasons. Mainstream is doing it, and it is so vile. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on this program doing it when everybody else was handling it as good as they could. But I'm going to bring it up now. And this is the case of this pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein, the so-called billionaire who I'm convinced is not a billionaire. But that's what they keep calling him. But, you know, he's been indicted now on a number of other charges with young children. But he's been convicted of others in the past. But my question to you is, as a child, what screwed this guy up? You don't, as an adult, simply grow into this and a fondness for young children. Something happened to this kid when he was
a
young kid.
In my practice, I've had men who were systematically raped by stepfathers during their childhood.
And then they turn into the same thing?
Yes, because it just messes them up, you know, psychologically and the trauma. Can you imagine being raped and then going to school when you're sick?
Oh, I know. Something happened to this guy when he was a kid.
But
there's
also,
no question about
also,
it.
Also, and I don't know how far we're going to go. You cut me off if I'm overstepping here. But we have people on the planet whose religion is to do pedophilia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words...
Yeah, it is a cult-type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and And so he very well could have been raised in one of those families. And in his eyes, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But they don't see the children as humans, actually. They see the children as adrenochrome or as fun or as cattle, maybe. You know, they just don't see them as valuable.
Pathetic and sad at the same time.
Well, it's horrendous.
Next up, let's go to Michael in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wild card line. Michael, go ahead.
Oh, yes. Hi. First off, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I wanted to address the topic at hand, please. I'm sure some of you are familiar with the radio host Delilah, please.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she's been a single parent for many years.
Yes, she has.
You know, a few years back, she had a caller call in who he was a single parent, a father, and he was saying, you know, I'm very concerned. I'm worried about my kids because I don't have a mother figure around. And she responded to him. She said, well, you know, you don't necessarily need two parents to raise a child. Is it challenging, difficult? Absolutely, yes. But I do the best I can. And sure, do I wish I had a father figure to take my kids fishing? Yes, absolutely. But I do the best I can. And she has many, many children, some biological, some adopted. And she's been a single parent for years. And she always talks about, in fact, she lost one of her children due to an illness about a year or two ago, very tragically.
Right. It was a sad story.
And, you know, I just really, you know, have a lot of respect for her because I don't know how she does it, frankly, but she's been a single
parent. It's not easy.
Well, then, I don't know how any of them do it.
Well, that's the key, Kathy. It is not easy.
You can't do pity pot. You have to stop yourself from feeling sorry for yourself and get busy being powerful, creative, and understanding that everybody, I say everybody has a soul path and everybody has a certain karma. And the way I look at my own life, I had certain major challenges that I apparently chose, I believe, before I was born. And I do not enjoy feeling sorry for myself. I just handle whatever's coming to me. And that's why I'm so happy. I'm happy.
Well, good for you.
I don't care if I work 16 hours a day. I'm absolutely in love when I'm.
But what do you say to the people? Well, I know this is part of your training, but what do you say to the people that don't have the tools and are just lost? They have no idea where to start.
I tell them I adore them. I'm going to help them if they want the help. And I point out every single thing I can find in the first session that I think is. A good thing. In other words, you're beautiful or you're smart or I like what you just said or boy, that was a good idea. And that's what you do.
Kathy, give us your website again before the break. Go ahead.
Oh my goodness.
Get that one out.
My website, www.highvibes777.com.
All right, we'll have you give it out again before we're off the air. And Christian's website, myheartbook.com, and his toll-free number to call, 1-800-STEM-123. Just keep that number. He's got several books out, including Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair, Christian Wild Stem Cell, and the Turmeric Research Report. And he is one of a kind, absolutely one of a kind. We're going to come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with final calls. If you're trying to call that the number that we gave you out for Christian Wild, don't use it. Use this one instead, 1-866-STEM-123, 1-866-STEM-123, and we'll give it out to you again before we're off the air with Christian, 1-866-STEM-123. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We are back with author and researcher Christian Wild and counselor Kathy Smith as we talk about single parents. And Christian, when you were doing your research for the program, was there one startling fact that you did not know about that you uncovered?
Yeah, particularly how many single parents there are.
Yeah.
You know, it just took you by shock when you suddenly looked at the census reports and saw the numbers. I would like Kathy to address the differences between that face a single father raising daughters, for instance, and teaching them or counseling them as they approach womanhood, and a mother who has a teenage son who is rejecting all discipline and is running with the wrong crowd. Each has a different set of problems. maybe you could talk about that, Kathy.
Oh, my gosh, yes. It goes back to how that parent was raised. The parent's go-to is going to be the way their parents acted.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, if they have had toxic childhoods, actually study and learn how to not be the way their parents were. And I'm talking about rageaholics, alcoholics, neglectful. Mm-hmm.
And ragers.
Yes, a lot of ragers. And some of those parents do very well. Most of them, I'm not doing a lot of statistics like we talked about, but I can tell you that 29% of the money is spent on housing. And here in Las Vegas, housing is getting so high that people like me, who make a pretty good income, can barely afford renting. You know, when we have brick and mortar.
Try Los Angeles, Kathy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't know how they do it. I don't know. I lived in, you know, I was raised where Christian lives. I was raised in Studio City, Sherman Oaks.
Sure.
I do not know.
Well.
I don't know how people are making it with the housing. So that's one of their, and it causes abject fear, real fear, like sweating.
It is. All right, let's take some final calls here for both of you. Let's pick it up by going to John in Oregon, west of the Rockies. Hi, John. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good.
I have a comment and a real short story.
Okay.
My comment is today, people get married for better, not for worse.
Right.
For richer, not for poor, until somebody better comes along. Now, my story is this. I was with a lady that had a little girl. She was about 3 years old. And we were together for about 2 years, and then she started messing around on me, and I told her she had to leave. And in about several years later, I was in the mall with my present wife, and sitting down in front of Nordstrom's. On the other side of me were two young guys, and I was talking to my wife. And these two young guys said, "Wow, look at that hot lady." And I looked up, and this lady comes walking over to me, walking, and she had long blonde hair, tall, about 5'9". And she got down on her knees in front of me, and she says, "Hi, Daddy."
Oh.
And I says, "Mandy." And she says, "Yes."
The little girl. Wow.
I said, "Oh, my God," I said, "you're gorgeous." She got up and twirled around. "Yes." She says, "I am." And I says, "How are you?" She says, "Oh," she says, "I am fine." And I says, "How's your mom?" And she says, "Oh, that crazy woman. She's been married 9 times. She says, "You wouldn't believe what I had to go through when I went to college. She changed my last name 9 times.
Jeez."
And I says, "Oh, wow." And I said, "Well, what do you do now?" And she says, "I am a lawyer." I says, "Oh, well," about 2 years after that, I get this phone call. And it was her. And she says, "I would like for you to walk me down the aisle."
How great.
How about that?
And I says, "Would you do it?" And I said, "Yes." And I said, "You know, I'm going to do what I said I would do." "No, you're not." I said, "Oh, yes, I am." I stood outside the church in overalls, a corn cob pipe, and a straw hat and a double barrel shotgun. And I said, "I'm the father of the bride." And my wife went into where she was putting on her dress. She's, "Oh, my God, he's not going to walk me down the aisle like that." My wife says, "Oh, yes, he is."
Did you?
"Oh, my God, you're going to ruin my wedding." Well, about 20 minutes before she walked down the aisle, I ran in, put on a tux, and I said, "Are you sure you want to do this?" "Oh, my God." And she says, "I need to have you sign a piece of paper." I says, what's this? He says, I'm going to adopt you as my father.
Wow.
What a daughter. What a nice
and
girl.
Wow. I signed the paper. Today, we are closer than ever. And I just want to say that, you know, a little impact on children, if you do it right, will make the world a lot better.
Well, you did it. You did it right, and she never forgot you. She was, how long were you with her mother?
About 2 years. I was raised.
So she remembered you up from 3 to 5. She remembered you. You must have been one heck of a great guy.
Formative years. Have your daughter listen in on the show tomorrow because she can hear Coast to Coast and hear your story.
If she's a Coast Insider, Christian.
Oh, yeah.
Christian, we're live right now.
Yes, that's right.
You know that.
Very much live.
Okay. Next up, let's go to David in New Mexico. Welcome to the program. Hi, David.
Hey, folks. And, George, you know your program is replayed the next day on certain select stations.
Some stations do that. Exactly.
Yes. And I'd like you to comment, your guest to comment on, there's a common theme running through your callers this evening. But first of all, you brought up Epstein. His Zorro Ranch is just down the road here in New Mexico. And I know several of the people that he's encountered here in New Mexico, Bill Richardson and the King family over the years. And let me share a piece of work product with you. I haven't shared you're the first I've been able to share it with, publish it for everybody. There is a clue, the Zorro Ranch with Zorro, Errol Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
Errol Flynn, and let's talk about him freely since he's long passed. He is alleged to have been pursuing underage girls himself, along with some other parties. And I'll, rather than drag their names into it, people can read about it on their own. But this gentleman, Epstein, loosely stated, named his ranch Zorro Ranch. And I'm alleging there's a connection between some admiration for Errol Flynn, who played Zorro.
Ah.
And
the
proclivities that they have in common, Epstein and Errol Flynn. If you follow me on that on your G-rated program here,
we get your thank you, by the way, and we get your drift on that.
Yeah. And and like I said, that's the first I've shared that with anybody. I haven't heard it in the media anywhere else, so I'm speculating I may be the first one to come up with that.
It's a good tie-in.
Wasn't his book Errol Flynn, My Wicked, Wicked Ways?
It might have been.
Say that again.
Yeah,
his book. He had a book a long time ago.
But this trafficking is incredible. What's coming out of Mexico and going across the country.
Well, what's even worse, Christian, is what happens to the mindset of these little kids when they become adults.
The young girl, she was 10 years old. She told the Border Patrol that she'd been raped 20 times since she left San Salvador.
Yeah.
I mean, we're living in the craziest time imaginable.
I think it's always been crazy, Christian.
Like this?
Yeah, I do. It's just, it was just never known as much because they didn't have the kind of media we have today.
Oh, we do.
They didn't have social network. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have ways to get information out instantly. Mimi's with us now in Midland, Texas. Hi, Mimi.
Hi, George. I am so grateful for this program and for your guests.
Thank you.
Because it's kind of pulling my loose ends together, but they are really in the trenches.
They sure are.
And we desperately need this. But there is a bottom line to this, and I've discovered the one for me. And you kind of know my story, but I'm not going to take up the time with it. But you know, it's been tragic personally.
Oh, yeah, it sure has. But you rebounded.
Yes, thanks to you, or I never would have. But my bottom line on it, someone not long ago asked me that knows my whole thing, said, how in the world have you done this? She said, you do not have hate. You don't have too much rancor about it, and I've always been a self-directed studier, so that's helped. But I'm not a single parent anymore, but I was for quite a while. And my bottom line is this. we live in the kind of world, and the human ego develops in such a way that if anyone spends even one day of their life with you because they really want to, it's a blessing, and it does not matter how it ends.
So true.
And that's what I've learned.
So true. Thanks, Mimi. Appreciate it. Christian Weil's website again, folks, myheartbook.com. His toll-free number is 1-866-STEM-123. Christian, anything new with turmeric these days? Discovering any more possibilities?
Yeah, one of the things that I find to be absolutely amazing is when you look at the neurological diseases, ALS, Alzheimer's, dementia,
Parkinson's.
MS, they're all a condition of dying or dead neurons. And the recent studies, it's always been speculated, but the recent studies have shown that turmeric can regenerate dead or dying neurons. That is a major discovery.
Well, so true. And Kathy, how about yourself? Doing what you do, what has been the most satisfying thing you've done?
What is the most satisfying thing is loving and refusing to judge and not reacting. I refuse to lower my frequency. If someone attacks me, I stay exactly where I am. And I don't match hate with hate. And I will get away if I have to. But I absolutely believe that thought creates reality, and I'm demonstrating it. I'm having amazing things happen. Things are vibrating to me without my even asking.
Good for you.
And it's not even that I'm asking specifically. I'm just claiming my power to do my own karma or my own mission. And I can't begin to tell single parents enough to stay off the phone and pay attention to their kids. Give them attention, be consistent with their discipline, stay off the pity pot because there's nothing there for them, and learn positive thinking. It's called online the law of attraction.
Absolutely.
And if they stay positive, and then they have to be brave enough if they have no love or no help. They have to be brave enough to make themselves try new things and ask for help.
Give out your new website one more time.
My website is www.highvibes777.com.
Super. Kathy, thank you so much. Christian, you and I are going to wrap things up with about a minute to go here. First of all, thank you to you for the research you did in a topic that, as we both understand, has really not been dealt with before.
No, and I thank you for the inspiration, George. This was your idea.
Well, you know what? I had so many single parents coming up to me at live events that I do around the country just saying, you know, hey, I want you to meet my little boy, my little girl, you know. And you look around and you go, where's your husband? Where's your wife? And they say, well, I'm a single parent. And it's more widespread, I got to tell you, than I ever believed. And you found that out.
Well, that's true. But we live in a time when parents, all parents, are competing with their child's attention on devices and computer games and cell phones.
Huh.
It's very, very competitive.
Christian's website, myheartbook.com. It is toll-free number 1-866-STEM-123, 1-866-STEM-123. Up next, Mitchell Scott Lewis back with us. We're going to be talking about astrology and how the world is going to shape up. And then at the last hour, of course, we'll take your phone calls. And with an astrologer, anything can happen. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.